The 31st, 1994.
My. Wow. Congratulations. We have a first.
That's tomorrow.
It's today. Happy birthday, Keith. And all the rest of you. It must be at least one N's birthday. Just my odds. EJ says maybe we should not have cake because it's too early to have it when we get here. It takes too much time. If we have an intermission, it makes us go too late. If you have cake after the meeting, it's supper time. And I will say this. Dorma held her own and said, we will have cake. Now she'll settle for raisins. But man does not live by bread alone. And Marie Antoinette said, let them eat cake. We can have cookies and we can have pretzels and we can have something, but I believe just a little bit of a social is what will hold us together through the times ahead. You've got some rough goings ahead, but you've done your jobs well, and you do not show any kind of unification of any organized clubs or meetings or anything. And I like for you ones to balance out what you do with the recognition that if you were to have a little party, let's say if you just invited the ones on your block or in your little mall or whatever, there's nothing wrong with this. There is a lot right with it. It is community. It is unnecessary, and a good bit of the time there will not be any such thing. We could go to the Indian method, and that is each one brings something, just light. And that would still leave your potlucks, etc., for more special occasions. You're going to have a family leave and return to where they came from. And that's Randy and Marissa and their family. And these are special times. The point is not to isolate you one from another. It is to protect the security of what you're doing, how you're doing it, and requiring that you pay attention. Because it is through paying attention that they have been able to not pull you down. EJ will be writing a little bit, probably not for this paper, but for the next one, on the status or stability of the Institute. I'm asking him to do this. We're not in the business of hiding. Neither are we ever going to be in the business of telling privacy information. The very reason things were structured as they were and are was for the privacy of participation. You would not know that George would come along and become your enemy. You never know when anybody is going to become your enemy. All it takes is one crossword. And it will always be over money or telling things. You have had the FBI, the CIA, all monitoring you. Lately, you've had a new crew move in to more carefully monitor you. So when something shows up, like these phone numbers, everybody gets upset because everybody starts throwing everybody's name in the pot. Who did it? Who cares? There are so many ways to fabricate a phone bill on a computer that it is laughable. More than that, they're probably reasonable phone calls. They probably were made from right here. Now, were they made at the instructions of the party in Atlanta? Were they made by some of you? Were they made by George Green, who came to and fro on his way to Costa Rica? You don't know. But there are a lot of clues, and I'm wondering if anybody bothered to follow up on anything. There are at least 4 calls to the Los Angeles area. Anybody call down there to see who answered the cotton picking phone? Well, I don't hear anybody respond, so I guess not. The numbers are right there on the paper.
We're getting a clean copy of the bill from Buckley, FedEx, tomorrow.
Well, I just passed the one out that's bad. Every one of you call. If you want to call the ships at sea, go right ahead and do it. Most of the numbers are decipherable if you look and compare with other ones. It is a very bad copy. But if you think Commander Hatton is going to sit somewhere and let this go by as if it were unimportant, I won't do it. I feel it's important, not for the same reason that you do. Because I'm not out to catch anybody. I already know. And it's interesting to hear the kind of speculation coming back to me. You see, there are a zillion ways on a computer to run a check on everything. It seems like there were some things that should have been handled on that phone bill, like immediately being sent to Rick, immediately being called to Rick's attention, not after a newsletter had gone out. And then you just sit a few days, and the next comes as to what the soup is going on. All of you are sitting in a time when you don't understand what is going on. And therefore, I'm telling you people to watch what you do. If you're asked to hold something in seclusion, do it. Or you're going to be on the hot seat exactly like some could be if they had divulged information in here. And we'll get to that in a minute. Who would be monitoring ship movements? Somebody who obviously wanted to know the status of something. Why would there be calls, short calls, into Los Angeles before midnight, but late, 10, undoubtedly to pick up phone numbers, possibly plane schedules, just check, whatever. Will they show up from your phones? Well, if the ones who did the computer run have any sense, they will. On the other hand, they knew that I would do something like this and suggest everybody call Iran, Saudi Arabia, just don't put it on our phone bill. That would be to monitor shipments of something. And since we're talking in mass tonnage of gold, it very likely has to do with that. It isn't that simple, you see, to call ships at sea. That's a radio operation. So enjoy these things, but sharpen up. You're not going to know everything. It isn't healthy for you to know everything because you tell everything. And people's lives are at stake. Neither is it suitable for ones to be setting this place up for any reason. That is totally unacceptable. But we have a new game in town today. You can bet that ones are out to do Ron Jackson in. And why would this come about? Oh, I can tell you why. Money. Ron made a lot of promises. Ron has a very large ego, but it's getting smaller. And for his own security, he's having to stay in longer. And if he thinks that the Carson City facility has been annoying, I don't think he will like it at all in Gene, Nevada, right across state line. On the other hand, he may like it very well. It's going to be, at least, he'll have the capability of staying alive. Now, for everyone who thinks, oh, promises, promises, I mean, you know, I just don't understand why he doesn't do something. So far, he hasn't done a thing he said he's going to do. Well, I want to tell you the ones bitching the loudest have done nothing either. In fact, Mr. Buckley just about went off his gourd because someone wrote him an anonymous letter. From his own group, each person apparently put in $100 to belong to Greenlight. And somehow, Mr. Buckley would take this thing to court and get these certificates. You know, you go like any patriot. I am a United States citizen. I've got these gold certificates. They're valid. Go cash them in. Oh, no, thank you. We don't want to pay you a bunch of billions of dollars. Mr. Buckley, up yours. So you push into court. Well, nobody can afford it. So what do? You get ones who want to participate in the lawsuit to put in $100 and we'll all go to court. Now, nobody has done more than that except Mr. Buckley and his people. They put in everything they've got, including their necks. Two of his prime contact and people have been killed. One within the last 2 weeks. Serious for them. So I don't think these kinds of pots who have been able to produce nothing should be talking about somebody who is talking about some millions, billions, and even trillions of dollars to be made available if done properly. We do know that Mr. Jackson, for this group, and the reason that you can know that he did this was because Gunther Rusbacher got several millions of dollars sent in to New York, Nigeria, to Austria, where he controlled the bank, back to New York. And it was stopped right there. That money was recovered and sent back to Nigeria, and then it had to go back to Austria. Mr. Jackson did better than that. He got $40 million cleared and into New York and cleared through the bank, through the Fed, all the way to San Francisco, into the Federal Reserve Bank there. And they made no bones about it. Treasury and Justice simply stopped it. They came and told him, we're holding it. We have a deal for you. Now, you think that it would be nice to have that $40 million. You think it would be nice to have $4,400. On the other hand, on every account there is that could remotely relate to any of you, they have a guard. They have a flag. So what do? Do we go through these clandestine operations just to get you some working capital so that you feel comfortable? You're getting your confirmation of some things, and some things you're not going to, and you're going to wonder, and you're going to bitch, moan, and complain. Well, you better think about what it would be if it were you. Mr. Jackson owns several computer companies. He'll get you some computers. He wants to use the paper. There is a big, big job to be done in your nation. And we'll see if Mr. Jackson has any notion about what he is about. Because he has had to absorb an incredible amount of input since he has come to meet me. When it is secure and reasonable, it will flow. Not 1 minute before. The way the government is set up, for instance, if money flowed into, let's say, Rick's account, any way at all, or into contact from that conduit, you see, they also follow around the attorneys who have the money. The feds can come and arrest someone and put them in prison for up to a year without even charging them. And who's going to stop them? Remember the gun. Get thyself nervous. They just transported how many? 120 Crips and Bloods, all dressed in costume, to go for training in Sacramento 3 days ago from Bakersfield. Open your eyes. It's serious time. And to help you by making your life unbearable is not the way it's going to be. I am not even going to ask Rick or Mitch to speak on this subject today. But the two of them went to visit with Ron Jackson last April. And they came back and they said, there are things we may not talk about, period. And they haven't. I'm not going to ask them what it was. And shame on you if you do. Because now it's breaking. And you have to understand that things are staged for two reasons: to see who your enemies are, who is going to leak private confidential information, and who is actually your friend or foe. Now, do I piously think that probably this was never discussed with Ron Jackson, what we're going to talk about? No, it most certainly was. It most certainly was, and it's the dumbest, most stupid thing they've come up with yet. And because of it, he's going to stay in the security of a nice prison during these days of Mr. Clinton's travels. So I think, EJ, if you'll just read this morning's writing, then we can get down to some question and answers. I think it's going to begin to unfold. You people don't know from anything about anything. That is not insulting to you. There is no way that you can know. Who is Comte de Saint-Germain? Oh, he is the Ascended Master, the seventh Kohen. Is he? Yes, he is. One of the most visible, elusive energies ever on your place. You can call him the father of your nation. He and Thomas Paine. And you're going to find yourself very closely intermeshed and related to this person by whatever name you want to call him. He had so many that it makes Gunther Rusbacher look silly. It's unfolding in a different way this time. Germaine always, from the time that there was opportunity to birth a new nation in the United States of America, worked on it. What you're not going to like about Germaine is that he started Freemasonry. Hallelujah, brother. He started and pulled away the Rosicrucians, the Rose and the Cross. Why did he do that? And why did it begin as a secret organization? It was not a ritualistic secret organization. It had to be done very quietly under the guise of something, because he was out to take away and wipe out the monarch system. And how interesting that you ones will come to know when Nora gets it all done, that indeed Germaine was literally a Tudor, T-U-D-O-R. He was the son of Queen Elizabeth. He was never allowed to assume his place. And yet he was a brilliant son of a gun. He was called Francis Bacon. Well, amongst a whole bunch of others. What name does Germaine give to you now? Villeneuve? Andreas. Germaine. He went by the name Valentine Andreas. And Comte de Gabalis. These were two outstanding titles for the man. He became a chancellor, one of the most powerful men, finally, in England. But guess what? As Francis Bacon, he brought forth the new age of industry, science, technology, literature. You name it, Germaine brought it to you. Always with his thrust toward trying to make humanity work. Didn't work. And he thought maybe a democratic system might work. So we go down through the ages. And there's going to be a lot of this information right at hand. Right at hand, right, Rick? Dorma would be a lot better at this today if she had listened and read the stuff that Charles brought up yesterday. And she said, no, thank you, I am sick of this subject. I'm not going to even open your things. As if Charles had done it to her. Well, maybe it's better. She'll believe me a lot better the next time. Francis Bacon began to write, as much as anything, on the subject of his own life. He fell in love, but he was down here, she was up here, in his status garbage. Now I'll tell you what a good family this man came from. He had a brother called Ethics. Germain Bacon got very well versed in law. Essex carried the emblematic ring of the Queen, which would give him access to pardons or whatever. So when things really got nasty and rough, he got into trouble, as ones always will, trying to pull you down, whether it is envy, money, status, it doesn't matter. There's always somebody out to destroy you if you're doing anything right at all. So it was set up that Elizabeth literally allowed Essex to be incriminated and arraigned. And he was found guilty in spite of everything that Bacon could do. Elizabeth said he had to defend him in court. Now, Elizabeth was a really nice old broad. She had her husband killed.
Oh.
Poisoned. John. But the agreement was, all Essex had to do was produce the ring. She would pardon him, and everybody would live happily ever after. Only there was a dirty bounder countess in the wood pile. The ring was, he was found guilty and sentenced to death. The ring was sent, a countess intercepted it, and did not produce that ring until her own deathbed. So Essex was found guilty and executed. So Elizabeth had not only been privy to her husband's murder, but now she had murdered her own son. And now she could not even raise her other son, Francis, to, you see, Francis Tudor, if you will, to his rightful station. This was really hard on this young man. He bore a lot of resentment, and he was doing a lot of writing, and there was an acting troupe. So he began to write plays. They were very good, but he could not accept the accolades. It would have been very, very bad for everybody. There was a young man named Shakespeare who was in the troupe of actors. So it was agreed that these plays would come out under the name of Shakespeare, but there was another little catch. It went something like this. You shake the spear of knowledge at the serpent of ignorance, and you shall overcome. So what a handy little coalition they could form. Francis could write and produce remarkable things without ever being recognized. It would be the logical sequence of events. In fact, his Romeo and Juliet was literally the story of himself and this woman he could not have. They obviously did not kill themselves, although with Germain you never knew. You never knew! He would get to a given age, he would disappear. He created a potion. He is an alchemist. He could literally renew the entire body. I mean, the skin, the hair, the teeth, everything would finally fall out. Took maybe a couple of months. And the entire cycle was finished and you were renewed. Well, I don't think any of you are that interested in it anymore. when your skin's falling off and your teeth are falling out, you don't look too great, and that would really destroy some of you, even if it looked better, you know, in another 2 weeks. But we're not interested in that. We're interested in the fact that Jermaine always could do this. So you're going to find yourself unaware of anything that you think you know. There were many traits about Francis Bacon that were bad, in your opinion, simply because you now take the Freemasonry movement, the Illuminati, which is not even a part of this picture, but the Rosicrucians, and you have already established your idea about them and why they were started, because they immediately got taken over by a worse element than the damn monarchy. That is the story of life on this planet. And if you forget it for 1 minute, you're had. Francis went on to marry. He never loved again as he did this woman, Marguerite. But he had a son. And by now he was reaching his later mature age. And he could not openly just come to America. So I'm going to give you another little bit of insight to you ones who know this story and can verify what I'm going to say. His son was sent and participated at the time of the Declaration of Independence. And while they're debating all of this, an unknown energy stood and spoke before that magnificent group. This happened at the Declaration of Independence, and it happened again at the constitutional signing. Jermaine was there. Do you really think you're going to get by with a nation in chaos and the destruction of the Constitution which Jermaine established to go down in the purple flame? I don't think so. And at some point, there will be an awakening to responsibility with one who will carry the purple flame a little bit farther. You are now dealing with master energies. And they can use whatever they want to. And their purpose is godly. And they will not give it up easily to appease or abate a bunch of committee members who also experience them. Now let's just knock it off, brothers. To the committee members, I say, you've got such serious problems that you better stop this garbage. You better stop the garbage, or you're not going to make it. And if a group that has a potential for goodness turns into the slime, they deserve whatever they get. And if you think God is going to rush in with his team and save the day, wrong. Wrong. Now, I think that's enough. We'll get into Jermaine at another sitting. I'd like you to read what I wrote this morning, please.
Ron Jackson, from Chuck and Mary in North Carolina. Light bridges. Yesterday, a letter was faxed to a lot of people, apparently. Chuck and Mary give their return number as fax 1704-898-4211. It showed up on my doorstep very late last night, so we will address it first this morning. Sanctions and coups, specifically the Clintons. I do not presume to answer questions for Mr. Jackson or anyone else, nor do I agree with many things from a lot of people with whom we share and work. Some of you have turned Mr. Jackson into some kind of an encyclopedic guru, and others simply want confirmation and information. This is what we are here for, readers, but not to specifically attend everyone's business. I will, however, comment on this particular information because it seriously impacts everyone, if true, and everyone, if not true. It will speak of killing a president. And furthermore, it would not be Ron Jackson who would be directly involved, and it is further the major reason Mr. Jackson stays incarcerated, so that it cannot be assumed a work of his doing if this takes place, as would be set up by dealers in the assassination game. The latter part does not please Mr. Jackson, except that he can see the wisdom of compliance and continued incarceration. The facts are, however, that there are at least two other assassins, trained and operable, within orders who could accomplish such a task. I ask that all of you who pile the letters onto Mr. Jackson for response continue the barrage because it keeps him so busy that he can't even consider the possibilities involved here. We need no killing of any kind to accomplish reclaiming of the constitutional goodly function of your nation. Mr. Jackson is just beginning to understand his purpose and direction, and no longer is sanctioning a part of his job. It never was with God and citizen. What is really incredible to witness is the sending forth of the Clintons and Gore on this stupid bus journey. They are not welcomed anywhere. All you are shown are the nice parts. The nasty parts are kept from you. Indeed, there are evil intents afoot. Will the real Clinton stand up? No, he can't. The Clintons have already been removed, and he was a puppet at best from upstart of his public imaging. I warn you, citizens of the world, when you act in violence against the laws of God and creation, you will not have help of same. I believe the best thing is to print the letter so that any comments make sense to you. Quoting, Saturday, July the 30th, 1994, from Light Bridges. To whom it may concern. In a telephone conversation with Ron Jackson, Ron said he had agreed to one last job, or sanction, or killing, or murder, for coups. Ron then said to us that he would be willing to tell us more information if we could guess who it was that Coops wanted him to kill. So Mary and I used an encrypted message in saying our guess to him by saying, quote, what do you think about Clint Eastwood and his ton of bills? This was our way of saying we thought he was going to kill Bill Clinton. So we said this to Ron over the phone, and after a long pause on the phone, he said, shit, you guessed it. So then we had a 3 or 4 hour conversation with him on the 24th of April, 1994, which has been taped and copied and given to several people. However, on this tape, we did not mention the subject of Bill Clinton or what Coops wanted Ron to do. In fact, we have told no one till now. The above might be pure BS from a man in prison who likes to make up big lies, or it might be true. So, if it is true, we feel we have the responsibility to tell the public so Coops and Ron Jackson can be stopped. We do not believe in murder. We believe in holding hands. We are not hawks. We are doves. I know a lot of patriots will not agree with us in this matter. Hatton's comment is, no, most real patriots will agree with you in this matter, It is no way to gain anything for your nation. We do know that Larry Nichols and many others have exposed about Clinton and his drug smuggling through MENA, Arkansas, and believe all or most of it to be true. Bill Clinton and Coops need to be put in prison so our United States government can operate without being sabotaged by the international families and the Federal Reserve Board and the Rockefellers and the CFR and the Bank of England, etc., etc. If what Ron is saying is pure BS, then there is no harm done. However, if it is true, then we wash our hands of this information and call the prosecutors in the judicial system to do their job in stopping the treason and injustice from happening. We know that the FBI, CIA, NSA, NSC, ad nauseum, have been infiltrated by anti-constitutionalists, but there are enough clean people left to get the job done. In 1938, Germany, the problem was not too many Nazis. The problem there was not enough vocal good guys and gals. So let's use the information highways to our advantage and let the pen work and let the sword sit in the corner and rust. Peace, love, and light, Chuck and Mary. Then came the call to Rick from Tommy Buckley and the inquiry as to whether or not Ron had ever said anything about this to Rick. Answer? If so, it was never repeated here. However, Buckley indicated that Ron had spoken to him about the same order action. So what have you? Now the question comes full circle back to me. Why would that be? This is not my business, and to wash one's hands, as stated above, hardly sounds new in expression. I am not of your place, so I can't do anything save speak about it. If I would be permitted, I would not. I will share another letter with you in a bit, so let us finish these few comments. You must understand different roles being played here, readers. I may be one of you, but I am not of you, not yet. Can you think of a better way for the committee to get rid of Ron Jackson forever? Just bargain him away on a mission of such stupidity as to get him killed or incarcerated forever. Come now. They know they can only control one Ron Jackson in this manner. For actually killing the being is not going to be successful and would be a most foolish maneuver against a member of their own committee who is more powerful, ultimately, than are any of them. I would think it most unfortunate in perception that Ron would have ever said such a thing to anyone. It does mean, however, that he was approached, and it was a plan, and probably will be attempted in another way by other parties. Can you see that there would be nothing gained for freedom or nation by more assassinations? Not even killing off the entire bunch of all the negative satanic committees of the globe could you accomplish freedom and goodness, change the hearts and minds of men, or you change nothing. No place, no time. You change the hearts and minds of man through truth in information. You will note that the information came through sometime this past April. That is quite a while ago, readers, and much changes daily, much less in several months. However, it does not make the suggestion less valid or the agony of sorting out responsibility easier. If, in fact, anything of this sort was spoken to any in this place, it has never been repeated. I would guess that it proves discretion on the part of our team. Who are Mary and Chuck? Well, they are close enough to be heard and have frequent conversation with Ron, and that is reality. They are the very ones who were to put Ron's books to press as publishers, etc. Have they betrayed...